Please open your Bibles to the letter to Philemon or Philemon. It depends how you would like to call it. Please turn to the book of Philemon. Ever since the fall in Genesis chapter 3, conflicts have been part of human relationships. Marriages have been broken. Parents became enemies with their children. Children deserted their parents. Friends become enemies. We see that in Genesis 4, Cain killed his brother, Abel. And in the rest of Scripture, we see conflict within the relationships. We see wars even in the time that we live in. But a highlight of it all, more especially in Scripture, is how forgiveness mend broken hearts. How forgiveness reconciles relationships, saves and restores marriages. The best part in a wedding is when each of those getting married say, "I do." The best part in a conflict is or would be when each part says, "I forgive you." But that's not always the case. Offenders normally bear a burden of humbling themselves before the eyes of their victims. And yes, definitely, they should. However, victims normally think they have an option to not humble themselves in forgiveness. Yes, forgiveness sometimes does not mean that people should become close friends. But in a church context, in a family context, and as we'll see even here in Philemon, forgiveness meant that there should be reconciliation as well. It is fascinating to see how victims who are believers are able to forgive genuinely, even in the most severe of challenges. If we can have a look or just reflect on some characters in the Bible, Joseph. Joseph was offended by his brothers. They planned to kill him and ended up selling him to the Ishmaelites. And when an opportunity came when his brothers thought that he will avenge himself, in Genesis 50, this is how Joseph responds. "Do not fear. Am I in a place of God?" David, between 1 Samuel chapter 18 and chapter 19, we see at least 5 attempts of Saul wanting to kill David. And in chapter 24 of 1 Samuel, David had a clear-cut opportunity to kill Saul. Even his counselors, his men of war, they said to him, "Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you.'" Those were the men of war counseling David as the opportunity to avenge himself availed itself. Then David responded, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." Again, when we look at David, he experienced quite a lot. His son Absalom, he illegally overthrew his father's kingdom. He set up a coup against his father's kingdom and also conspired to kill David. But when an opportunity for David came, where David's army and Absalom's army were going to be at war, David's instruction was they should not kill his son Absalom. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 33, the news came to David that his son had indeed been killed. And this is how he responded, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you? Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." In Matthew 18, when Jesus Christ tells the parable of an unforgiving servant, this is how he concludes that parable in verse 35. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." According to Jesus, forgiveness should be from the heart. The examples I have quoted from the Old Testament, I believe they fit that standard, the standard of forgiving from the heart. Do you know how to forgive from the heart? Like few of the passages that I've quoted, many passages in Scripture, we see people forgiving. We see people reconciling. In other passages, we read instructions that we should forgive. Like in Luke 17, verse 3 to 4, Jesus Christ speaks to his disciples, telling them that they should forgive 70 times 7 a day. And their response was, increase our faith. For forgiveness is not an easy task. However, what I see in the book of Philemon is that it is a practical guide on how to forgive from the heart. Philemon is one of those books that is, it's practical. In it, we find practical principles that enable us to forgive from the heart. Principles that prepare and equip us to reason to forgive our offenders. We'll now get to the letter of Philemon. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 25. I'll be a bit fast as I read, but we'll get into it in the sermon. "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Aphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to me, to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write with my own hand, I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefits from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. In verses 1 to 3, we see the Christian greeting that Paul normally writes when he addresses the churches he writes to in his epistles. What we see in this letter, in verse 1, we see that Philemon is somewhat addressed or singled out so affectionately. He says, our beloved, he calls him our beloved fellow worker. Two people are addressed in this way, in this letter. The first one is Philemon, who is a victim, as we will see as we continue. And there is also an offender whose name is Onesimus. But in verse 16, Paul refers to him as a beloved brother. We'll have a look at the background. We'll just go through the background and just to see what caused or what was the cause of the tension or the issue between Onesimus and Philemon. Because that issue is what caused Paul to write a letter to Philemon. Philemon was a believer who lived in Colossae or Colossia. He became a believer during Paul's ministry. And as we read in verse 2, church was held in his house. I believe this was a church in Colossae, which is the letter to the Colossians. So church was held in Philemon's house, and Philemon, he owned slaves, or a slave, at least we know of one, which is Onesimus. And these factors, they point to that Philemon might have been rich. He might have been rich. One of Philemon's slaves stole from him and ran away to Rome. The reason he ran away to Rome is Rome was a great hiding place for slaves. So it would be easier for Onesimus to hide among the large number of slaves. He was not a believer at the time when he committed the offense. According to the law, a runaway slave, when captured, the slave would be charged and returned to his master. And the master, who often executed the slave or brutally punished the slave or assigned a job that would assure a speedy death of the slave. So Onesimus had committed an offense worthy of death. Through God's providence, not revealed in the text, Onesimus eventually met Apostle Paul, and he too became a believer. He too came to Christ. Through this letter, Paul is writing to Philemon because he's sending Onesimus back to Philemon. And he's writing a letter to say that Philemon must reconcile with Onesimus. He must reconcile with Onesimus. In this letter, Paul guides Philemon through so that he can help him. He can encourage him, he can stir him towards reconciliation and forgiveness. Hence, from this letter, we as well, we will draw out five biblical principles to help you forgive so that your forgiveness conforms to the standard of Christ. Our first principle that we'll draw out to help us to forgive from the heart is remember who you are in Christ. Verses 4 to 7. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. Paul informs Philemon how Philemon's faith has filled his prayers. Philemon's faith has filled Paul's prayers with thankfulness. And the reason for that, how did Paul come to know of Philemon's faith? He says, I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the faith. So Paul somehow got a report about Philemon's faith, about how Philemon is serving the saints in the church. And this only confirms one thing, that Philemon is a genuine Christian. He is a newborn spiritually in Christ. Philemon's attention is brought to what he possesses, which is the cause of good works that results in a refreshing fellowship. In verse 7, Paul says, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. This confirms the effectiveness of works springing out of love for all the saints. Philemon's love for the saints also impacted Paul. For in verse 7 he says, I have derived much joy and comfort from your love. Now in verse 6, Paul shared with Philemon a specific prayer. He says, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. This is not because the sharing of faith has not been effective. But it's just that this time around, that desire, based on Paul's prayer, is that the effectiveness may be towards forgiveness and reconciliation. If Philemon reconciles with Onesimus, that would be a great testimony of the newness of life Philemon possesses and of the truth that he believes. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we read that we are God's workmanship created in Christ for good works. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul writes, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. In that sense, it will be effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Before Paul appeals to Philemon for Onesimus, he first points out to Philemon that because of who Philemon is in Christ, he already has what I call a heart that is able to excel in good works. When he says he has love for the saints and faith towards Christ, that is proof of genuine salvation. So that is a heart of a Christian. So Paul brings that to the attention of Philemon, that you are a genuine believer. You already possess a nature that is able to do good works that are required by the Lord. This is what we as well, this is what you must remember as well when you are offended, when you are a victim. As a victim, the first principle to remember so that you are able to forgive from the heart is that you are a Christian. You are a new creation in Christ. This is what you must remember as you go home to your spouse who offended you earlier during the day when you went to work. As you face your sibling that you had a disagreement with. As you deal with a teenager who thinks he is justified to rebel against their parents. As your father comes to you to ask for forgiveness for the misjudgment or disciplining you perhaps for a wrong thing or something he has overlooked. When you face your offenders as a victim who is a Christian, the first thing to do is to remember that you are a Christian. Remember who you are in Christ Jesus. A few suggestions. Remembering that we are Christians in the presence of our offenders, I believe this is how it benefits us. It reminds us that we are what we are for the sake of Christ. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, Paul writes about Jesus Christ. He says, who gave himself for us to redeem us and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. We are what we are for the sake of Christ. Also, it is Christ's glory that is at stake when we respond to those who have offended us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter writes, "You are a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you into his marvelous light." So our response is, when we are facing our offenders as victims who are Christians, they are very important because they say much about who we are in Christ. Most importantly, you have the ability to do righteous works by remembering that you are a Christian, by remembering that you are a new creation in Christ. That informs you already that you have an ability to do righteous works. It tells you that you have a heart to forgive from the heart. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, Paul writes, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." You have the ability. For if you are a Christian, it is God who has given you that ability. So you can forgive. This is not like earthly forgiveness. Here in the world, with unbelievers, people forgive because they want to be better persons. You know, they want to be a bigger person. Some people would even say, just do it for yourself. Do it for the sake of your own peace. Forgiving from the heart, as we read in this letter to Philemon, is not like that. It is not about you. It is not about me. It is for the sake of Christ. It's for the sake of Christ's glory. It is an expression of not just your trust in Jesus as your Savior, but also your submission to him as Lord. As Paul points this to Philemon in verses 4 to 7, pointing out that every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ, it's not for the sake of Philemon. It's not for the sake of Philemon to be known as a good believer. It is for the sake of Christ. As Philemon becomes aware of this will motivate him towards the will of God in dealing with the issue at hand. This leads us to the second principle, to help you forgive from the heart, which is remember God's will. Remember God's will. Verse 8 to 9. "Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I appeal to you, I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus." Paul knows that all Christians, weak and strong, mature and immature, under all conditions, under all circumstances, they should submit to God's will. And Philemon is no exception. He appeals to him to do what is required. And he does not command him. The end goal would be the same, even if he had commanded him. But because of Philemon is a fruitful brother, because of the brotherly affection that is noticed in Philemon's life, and not just Philemon, between Paul, Philemon, Philemon and the church, Philemon and Onesimus, And we see that love, as Paul writes about Philemon, he says, our beloved fellow worker in verse 1, and in verse 7 he calls him my brother. That's his brother, the affection. And when he speaks about Philemon and the church, he says, church in your house in verse 2, and he says in verse 7, saints are refreshed. That's Philemon's love expressed. It is visible. And Paul and Onesimus, there's also love between Paul and Onesimus. He calls him my child, a beloved brother, in verse 16. So Paul says, for love's sake, I will not command you, but I will appeal to you. Though I am bold enough to command you in Christ, but for love's sake, I will appeal to you. The intention is to see the same love expressed in other ways, now expressed in doing what is required. That's the intention. But because Philemon was a brother who is serving Christians in the church, he was spiritually matured. It was not like a brother who is weak, who needs to be pushed. I believe if this letter was directed to Onesimus, Paul would have been a bit firm in commanding him to do what is required. But because Philemon was a spiritually mature brother, even the saints were refreshed by him or through his love, Paul takes an approach of persuading Philemon to still keep the command. Though the command is not stated in these verses, it is stated in verse 17 in the later verses. But Paul already makes Philemon aware that there is something that is required of him to do in the situation at hand. To forgive from the heart. To forgive from the heart requires that you remember God's will for forgiveness. When Paul says, I am bold enough to command you to do what is required, that is God's will. It's God's will. As Christians, we do not live anyhow, but we submit to God's will. We submit to God's will. It's David when he had an opportunity to harm Saul. He said, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my Lord, the Lord's anointed. He knew God's will for the kings, at least at that time in the Old Testament. David knew the will of God for the kings. And because he remembered God's will, He did not use the opportunity to kill Saul. So as Christians, we should always remember God's will when we are faced with an opportunity to face our offenders. To forgive from the heart requires that you remember God's will for forgiveness. That it is to forgive as God forgave in Christ. God's will for us, when there's been a conflict, is for us to forgive. For we as well have been forgiven in Christ. That is the second principle. As you remember God's will for forgiveness, you will need to reason well in order to respond in forgiveness. verses 10 to 16, Paul, he helps Philemon set or establish a mindset. He helps him reason towards forgiving. He helps him reason towards forgiving. And we'll see this in the next principle, which is the third principle to help you forgive from the heart, which is reason according to Scripture. Reason according to Scripture. As a Christian, your reasoning should be shaped by the gospel. Your reasoning should be shaped by the gospel. When you have been offended, you cannot just allow your thoughts to go wherever your pain takes you. But you need to reason according to Scriptures. Verse 10 to 12, Paul says, I appeal for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Onesimus has changed. Onesimus has changed. And this is a spiritual change. Paul says he became Onesimus' father during his imprisonment. This is a relationship based on the relationship with Christ. Based on the relationship with Christ. So in these verses from verse 10 to 16, the reason Paul introduces Onesimus this way is because he wants to help him, he wants to help Philemon reason well about the person who offended him. And you will see later in the verses that also Paul speaks about the incident itself. But when he speaks of that incident, he speaks of it according to God's providence. Why he's doing that? He is helping Philemon to reason well. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back, sending my very heart. That's a big change. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. So Philemon is now saved, but also Philemon is now fruitful in the ministry. He's now fruitful in Paul's ministry. Paul even says, I would have been glad to keep him. So when you look at this text and you go back to verse 4 and 7, you can pick up the similarities between Philemon and Onesimus. You can pick up the similarities. Philemon was fruitful in the ministry. Philemon loved the saints. And this is what now we see as well of Onesimus. Onesimus and Paul, there is a brotherly affection. Paul says, I'm sending my very heart. And he even says that I would have been glad to keep him in order that he might serve me on your behalf. So there's a big change. So for Philemon, when he was going through this letter, these words would have triggered something in his mind. These words would have changed the way he sees Onesimus. He would now start to reason differently when he thinks of Onesimus. He's now a brother in Christ. He's now a brother in Christ. In verse 15 to 16, Paul says, for this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Onesimus is a Christian. Everything that Christ did for Philemon, everything that brought Philemon to Christ, has now brought Onesimus, his offender, to Christ. So they are now brothers in Christ. They are now brothers in Christ. And now that means when Philemon thinks of Onesimus, he needs to think of him as a believer. He needs to think of him as a believer. And when he reasons about the issue that was committed by Onesimus, he will need to reason according to Scripture. In verse 15, he says, "For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while." Paul is not saying that God allowed Onesimus to sin against you so that he can go and meet me and be saved. He's saying, "For this perhaps is why he was parted from you, that you might have him back forever." He's looking at God's providence. That when Onesimus sinned against Philemon, it was never in his mind that he would go to Rome and be saved. His intentions were wicked. His intentions were evil. It is suspected that he might have also stolen from Philemon and then ran away to Rome. How Paul states this verse, it reminded me of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50, when his brothers thought that he would avenge himself. This is what Joseph says: "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." You see, now, when Philemon reasons this way, it would not mean that Onesimus' actions were justified against Philemon. But Onesimus' action would be put forward. What he did, he meant it for evil. But God, who is a gracious God, who is able to turn evil and use it for good, he's the one who made this situation in a good situation, where Onesimus got saved, and now he was returned to Philemon, no longer as just his slave, but now as a fellow believer. What this teaches us is that when we look at people who have offended us, and when we look at the offenses that they've committed against us, we should reason according to Scripture. We should reason according to the Bible. We should reason according to the Bible. We should know God's will when we have been offended. What is God's will when you have been offended by your wife, by your husband, by your child? When you've had a road rage, what is God's will for you as a Christian? That should help us reason well to a point where we are able to forgive from the heart. To a point where we are able to forgive from the heart. To be able to do that, you will need to increase your knowledge of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You will need the word of God. You will need to be filled with the knowledge of Scripture in order for you to reason according to Scriptures. To remember who you are in Christ, to remember God's will, to reason according to Scripture, it prepares you to submit to forgiving your offender from the heart. This takes us to the fourth principle to help you forgive from the heart, which is reconcile in forgiveness. Verses 17 to 20. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write with my own hand, I will repay it, to say nothing of you owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Paul has taken much care to this point, from verses 4 to this point. He has taken much care of Philemon's heart. And in verses 10 to 16, he has filled him with reasoning. He has filled him with godly wisdom so that he is able to reason well in order to do what is required. And now, in verse 20, he tells Philemon to forgive. But then he not only tells him to forgive, he also gives him an image of how to forgive. He says, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. Basically, from verses 9. Yes, for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. From there, he started to give the instruction to Philemon. But he stopped in verse 10 and gave Philemon some points to think about the situation and about Onesimus. And now in verse 17, he's now completing his instruction or his appeal. He says, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. Now, when he uses the word partner, he's talking about the fellowship that Christians have. When you read the book of 1 John chapter 1, we as Christians, we first have fellowship with Christ, and then the fellowship is with one another. So Paul is saying, he's appealing to the oneness in Christ. Receive him as you would receive me. So if you consider me your brother in Christ, consider Onesimus as such as well. When you read these verses, you can't help but think of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, where Paul says, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When Paul says, if he has wronged you, he's helping Philemon receive Onesimus. He says, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. God in Christ, he made Christ sin. Our sins were imposed on Christ, and Christ's righteousness was imputed on us so that we could become the righteousness of God. So Paul is thinking along those lines. He's looking at substitution. And as a wise counselor, he's using that approach to make sure that there is reconciliation and forgiveness between Philemon and Onesimus. By saying if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, Paul is taking Onesimus' faults upon himself. By promising to pay, he assures justice for Philemon. He assures justice for Philemon. By taking this approach, Paul has made it possible for Philemon and Onesimus to reconcile and forgive one another. As a victim, it is humbling as well to know that you as well have been forgiven. So as you have been forgiven, you also must forgive. Paul throws in a statement when he says to Philemon, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. He's humbling him. He's humbling him. I will pay for the faults of Onesimus, but to say nothing of you owing me even your own self. Philemon was indebted to Paul. He was indebted to Paul, at least spiritually. Spiritually. And that would have humbled Philemon and just steered him to a direction of forgiving Onesimus from the heart. From the heart. So as Christians, we do not follow world standards of forgiving. But when we want to forgive, we look at the cross. We look at the cross. At the cross, God forgave us in Christ. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, he writes, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So we need to imitate that kind of forgiveness. Because this kind of forgiveness, it provides justice for the victim and mercy for the offended. For justice for the victim and mercy for the offended party. Just as we were in Christ. Just as we were in Christ. For the sake of time, we will stop here. Because we have communion. So I would encourage you to look at these principles, be equipped with these principles, depend on them, so that you are able to forgive from the heart. Forgive in a manner that gives glory to Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for salvation. We thank you that though we were your enemies, but when your goodness and kindness appeared, you saved us. Lord, teach us as believers among one another, Heavenly Father, to love one another, that even when we step on each other's toes, that, Lord, we are able to forgive one another. Our Heavenly Father, even as we live in the world, may we be those people, our Heavenly Father, who are ready to forgive when offended. For Lord, you have called us to yourself. You have called us and made us your possession and made us a priesthood that we should proclaim your excellencies. Hence, Lord, would you please help us to take these principles as we learned from Philemon and apply them, Lord, and live by them, that when times come where we need to reconcile with one another, we would be able, Lord, to forgive and reconcile for the sake of Christ. In his name we pray, amen.